Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Strategic Seminars Radio. Strategic Seminars presents topics on business, leadership, team building, relationships, sales training, customer service, spirituality, and personal development. Our website is www.strategic-seminars.com. Now, here's our program. Greetings again. It's a special day when we're able to have a special guest, and one of the interesting people that we get to talk to from time to time is Wes Bleed, and Wes is here with us today to talk about communication strategies and other things relating to presentations. And Wes is a communication strategist from the Chicago area. He has a public relations role, and it's quite an interesting career, as well as having his own training company. He speaks to audiences on how to improve their presentation and communication skills. And if you're one of those people that likes to read a great blog, he has a wonderful blog at his website, wesbleed.com. So we're delighted to have you with us today, Wes. How are you doing?
Grant, thank you so much. I'm doing well and hope you are as well. And we're muddling through the winter here. So it's been good. And yeah, I before the public relations was a fairly lengthy career in broadcasting, and that gave me an opportunity to see a lot of good communicators in action, you know, elected officials and business leaders and that sort of thing. So it was a good way of just kind of standing back, observing and watching people in action, and then incorporating some of that into my own speaking experiences as well as some of my training.
That's awesome. Of course, we go back to Wheaton College together back when the world was young, and where winters were just as severe as some of the more severe ones we're getting now. The winter of 78 was one that I'll never forget in the Chicagoland area. So we survived all that, and here we are all these years later. Tell us some of the things that you particularly enjoyed in your world of communications and things both in radio as well as obviously the public relations stuff.
Well, I think, you know, as far as news coverage, it's always the pace and the excitement of the day of what the breaking news stories might be and how people are reacting to those things. And, of course, there's no shortage of news and developments around the world these days. It just seems like the world really is at a quickening pace. I've heard the description is, you know, the relentless pace of change. It just seems to go faster and faster. And so that's always been an interesting part. I think in public relations now for the last 5 years, and some of that being political communication, I have been able to, again, step back and sort of look at things from the other side of the microphone because, you know, now it's not covering the news. It's actually helping to create the news. And what I enjoy doing is helping people craft a message and explain what it is that they're trying to get across to people, whether that's the public, customers, maybe employees. So it's a variety, and it's always interesting to see how people try their best to communicate, and sometimes how easy it is to fall short of that. I think it was George Bernard Shaw who said, you know, one of the great myths of communication is the belief that it has taken place. You know,
well,
because it's one of those things where we try to speak and get a message across, and how often have we had somebody come back and say, "Well, I really thought you meant," or "This is, you know, I didn't get what you said." So it's a challenge. What can I say? It's a challenge.
Well, one of the ways it becomes less of a challenge is when we have the benefit of some people who've not only studied but practiced public speaking in so many different contexts as you have. And I know for many people, one of the most terrifying experiences, whether they're in school or as they get into the business world or in any aspect of life, or they're at a wedding and suddenly it's their turn to do a public presentation where they have to give the speech or just do a little talk, and it's a terrifying experience for them. And it's one of those moments where everybody wishes they didn't have to do it so often, and being able to do it effectively is an even greater challenge. So how do people work through the emotions and the fear and the challenge of that when they know something is coming up and sooner or later all of us have to do some kind of a presentation? What are some things that you find helpful and getting people over the emotional side of that.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not sure I believe the surveys that say that people fear public speaking worse than death, but that seems to be the case. When
got
to
be a close second.
It might be. I think that it's probably, let's cut to the chase. To some extent, you're never going to get over the nervousness or the feeling of just not being quite adequate totally.
Mm-hmm.
But you can help to mitigate that. You can help to improve your situation and your circumstances through, being prepared. If you have a mm-hmm. little bit of an awareness of what you want to say, what the message is that you want to get across, rather than simply winging it, that can do a lot to buoy your confidence and make you feel a little bit more in control of your message. And, boy, that makes you really feel more in control. And there's a lot to be said for feeling in control, and that can help to, again, lessen those fears. The other thing is, if you simply put yourself in situations where you have to do a little bit more public speaking from time to time, even if it's talking to your dog in the living room,
there you go.
you get yourself over that feeling like, well, I don't know what the words are going to sound like as they come out of my mouth. Well, if you've done it a few times, then you have, again, just a little bit more practice at that. So those are a couple of things. Prepare, feel a little bit more in control, and even if it's, again, in front of the mirror, in front of your dog, maybe hire somebody to come listen to you, those are all ways that you can help to lessen those fears.
That's really important. And, of course, in our career development in business or in teaching or any of the kinds of things people are likely to do, the ability to speak, the ability to present is a real asset with whatever your role is, even if you're in something in the sciences or engineering and you think that's not what I have to do, sooner or later you're called upon to do that. And if you can speak clearly and communicate well, that's a real asset when it comes to enhancing your career and improving your job possibilities.
Absolutely. And it's frustrating to me and maybe to you, where you hear communication skills and presentation skills branded as sort of soft skills. Those are the skills that, kind of people sort of look the other way at, and it's not really all that important. Well, yeah, it is. It is. And the CEO on down has to be able to communicate. And you think of the great leaders over time, the ones that were able to communicate a message and rally support behind their vision, those are the people who get ahead, those are the people who succeed, those are the people who are remembered.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful. Well, today you have offered to give us some insights to help everybody, no matter where it is that they're going to be doing their public speaking, and you've talked about 5 tips for public speaking success. So why don't you start us off with tip number 1.
Okay, tip number 1, Grant, is it's not about you. And not you specifically, but you, the person who's about to speak. What I mean by that is that we get obsessed with ourselves as we're preparing for that speech. And just as we were referring a few minutes ago to being nervous or being fearful, we think it's about us, but really it's not. It's really about the audience. It's about the person who's going to be listening to what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And to expand that just a little bit more, what's the audience thinking about? Now, they are thinking about themselves. They are not really focused on you. So we beat ourselves up. We get all nervous. We think, okay, what are we going to look like? What are we going to sound like? Are we going to trip and fall? And, are we going to look okay up there on stage? The audience really is focused more on themselves. They want to know what you can do for them. They want to know what you can talk to them about. They want to know if you've got something for them that they can take away. They care about themselves. And again, this is not anything that's untoward. They are just there focused on what that presentation is going to be like for them. So are they going to learn anything new? Are they going to benefit? Are they going to be entertained? Are they going to have a few laughs? That's what really they're focused on. So it's not about you, it's about them. And if you can focus on them, you take that pressure off of yourself, number one, and then number two, you really focus on what they've come to hear you for. So
that's such an important point, because you're doing exactly what you talked about before, and other contexts about communication that's two ways, and part of that's putting yourself in the other person's position and obviously recognizing that this isn't about you, it's about their experience and that they're focused on their world as well as you. That's really powerful.
And while it's always nice to hear somebody compliment you and say, boy, you did a nice job, or man, you really knocked that one out of the park, it's really better to hear somebody say, you know, you really spoke to me. You changed my perspective. You really had something very insightful there that I can benefit from. Those are the things that you really want to hear when it's all said and done.
That's great. Well, let's move on to point number two. What would be the next thing that people should be aware of?
All right. Now, here, I'm going to throw you this a bit here. This point is, it is about you. I just told you that about you. Point number two is, it is about you, and by that I mean the real you. And this has to do with authenticity, being authentic. Both in terms of presentation, so, you know, you want to find your own style, your own voice. We want to be talking about our own experiences. You know, this is not the time to go pretend to be somebody else. You're not trying to copy somebody else's mannerisms and somebody else's way of speaking. And, you know, if you're a pastor, everybody wants to be the next Billy Graham. Well, don't try to copy Billy Graham, because, you know, you're never going to, number one. But but try to be an authentic you, and find that way of projecting and that way of speaking that is truly you. It's your own style. Now, beyond that, you want to be talking about you yourself as well, and don't try to misrepresent yourself. You know, if you're not a best-selling author, if you haven't cured cancer, you know, don't say you have. Don't pretend, because then that's going to erode your credibility, and you know, people just aren't going to believe what you have to say. So, if your introduction, in somebody's talking about who you are and your accomplishments, don't have them throw in superlatives that really aren't true. And, you know, you want to just make sure that you're authentic in what you say and what you have to deliver. And, you know, that doesn't mean that you have to go out and dig up some failures and things that are true about you that maybe aren't the best things that you'd like to have said about you, unless that's part of your presentation. I mean, you know, like, hey, I was fired. I know what it's like to be fired. That isn't necessarily a good thing. But if I need to make a point about it, I can talk about that. And I have talked about that in business presentations. So it just means be authentic and be you, be who you are, be authentic in terms of delivery, be authentic in terms of the content that you deliver.
You mentioned Billy Graham. We can think of Winston Churchill, Martin Luther King, Ronald Reagan, others who are great communicators. You obviously don't want to mimic them. What can we learn as we're listening to those kind of speakers that are very effective and have a special gift for that? How do you take what they're good at and benefit from that as somebody who's an observer?
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, as going back to my radio days, there were times where I would listen to other broadcasters, and I would try to say to myself, you know, I really ought to try to borrow that technique or that style. Again, not to do it completely as an impressionist would do it of somebody, but to just sort of borrow a little bit from that. So, you know, for example, if you're listening to a speaker and you notice that they pause effectively, that there's a way about how they deliver a certain line, well, that you can pick that up and maybe you can incorporate that into your next presentation as well. So, yeah, learn from others. Do notice others and what they use in terms of their own delivery and style, but just incorporate that so that it can become your own.
Very interesting. Well, what's our next point on the list?
Okay, well, the next point is actually 3 points. It's learning the 3 P's that any speaker really needs to address. And the 3 P's, I'll start with the first one, is you have to address the audience's pain. What is it that's bothering the person in the audience? What are they suffering from in terms of either, you know, a problem? Are they hurting emotionally, what's gone wrong in their lives. Now, you can't obviously mind read and know that for every single person in the audience, but is there a general sense of what that audience is going through? This has to do with some research you might want to find out ahead of time. Are there some problems that the audience is dealing with if it's a company that you're going to speak to and you aren't, you need to get up to speed on what their challenges are and their problems are and their pain. It might be a presentation you're giving inside of your own company, and you do know quite well what some of your colleagues are experiencing. So what is the pain? What's bothering them? And can you address that? The second one is similar. It's what's the problem? Can you help them solve something? You know, this gets into the whole area of consulting. You know, consultants are problem solvers. Well, if you're coming in to have answers, you need to know what is it that they're struggling with. You know, what solution can you help them come up with? And it may not be that you've solved the problem right there during the presentation, but you're at least addressing it and helping them to maybe think more clearly about it or think differently about it, which may end up helping them to solve the problem. And then the third P that you'd like to address as a speaker is potential. Now, we all want to think that we can be better. We all want to think that our company can be better and that there's a better, brighter future out there, and there's a lot of potential in what we see. So help them see it. Help the audience see what the potential is in terms of a vision for themselves, a vision for their department, vision for what their company is doing or their organization is doing. Just kind of help them see their better selves. So if you can tap into what's hurting the audience, what's bedeviling them, you know, and help them catch their vision, then I think you're on the right track to helping them leave the presentation in a better way than when they entered the room before the presentation began.
Very powerful. What would be tip number four?
Okay, yeah, we're already on number four. You really need to get into the story business as a speaker. We are oriented toward stories in our lives. I know I remember as a kid enjoying stories, enjoying hearing my folks read stories to us. I enjoyed reading stories to my kids, and we just love stories. It's just as it's human nature, and I remember an expression that I've heard once over time. It's that facts tell, but stories sell. And that's very powerful when it comes to presentations. We think that we've got to unload a bunch of facts and statistics on people. We've got to convince them with sound arguments. And we might want to use arguments and statistics. But at the end of the day, it's really about the way we can communicate through stories that will do a lot and really help us get our message across. I'll give you an example. I was speaking once to a luncheon meeting, and I was going through my presentation, and I thought I was actually going through it pretty well. And then I got to a point where I said, well, it was like the one time that I, and then I started down the road of this one particular story. And as soon as I said that, I saw about two or three heads in the audience raise up and start to look directly at me. And I realized that just the beginning of a story like that had caught their attention and had perked up their interest because, there's a story coming. And again, what do we like? We love stories. So rather than just talk about, let's just say, in the news business, going back to journalism, you know, rather than just do a story about the bland unemployment statistics, wouldn't it be much better to have a story about someone who's out of work and who's going through the problem of looking for work, or maybe has been looking and looking and looking and they finally found a job, and what's that like for that person? That's a story that people can relate to. So do the same thing in a speech. don't just rely on the facts and statistics, as I mentioned. Use them, but underscore them with a story or an illustration of what it means, how it played out in maybe in your department, how it played out in your organization. What happened the time that you tried that particular approach? What was the result? And, give them a beginning and a middle and an end. We understand better through stories. They help us absorb some of those statistics that we want to use. Again, not bashing statistics, but just sort of use them strategically and use the stories to bridge between the statistics and the other information that you want to share.
Well, I can certainly relate to that. As soon as someone starts to tell a story, I'm perked up too, because it's one of those things that I think human nature, we love to hear stories and context, and that's easier to pass along too if you've learned something, if you can tell it in the story form. So that's
absolutely a
wonderful tip. All right, we're down to tip number 5 already. And what would you suggest we need to know for public speaking success?
Well, as I like to think of it, and people use this phrase, they want to know, well, you know, how can I get to the aha moment in a speech?
Hmm.
As a speaker, you really want to get to that moment where you've turned on the light bulb. You want to get to the place in the speech when you unveil your signature point, your solution, your unique way of looking at that particular situation, or maybe it's unconventional wisdom, really, about a certain problem or a challenge or whatever it is. So you want the audience to be sort of nodding, and in their minds they're saying, aha, that's what you meant. You know, that's where I can see you going. Oh, I understand now. So, you know, a speaker who really does his or her job is going to have the audience at one time or another, maybe a couple of points during the speech, but having that moment where it clicks, something clicks. There's new information. They have new information, or they have a new understanding. Something has transformed their thinking, and that would be a goal for any speech. You don't want to just get up there and recite some facts and maybe, you know, have a few laughs. You want to be able to take that audience to a new point. And how do you do that, you might say? Well, maybe it's a quotation that people have heard, but you unpack it so that the audience understands a new concept. Maybe it's taking two ideas and contrasting them from each other and making a point by doing so. Maybe it's giving a term a new definition so that that concept is understood in a new way. Or maybe it's comparing two concepts and letting the audience for the first time grasp some new revelation about that. So, you know, the audience at the end of the day, as they hear this information, they can't help but think, aha, now I see, now I get it. And that is really kind of one of the goals that you have to have as a speaker in order to make the presentation a success.
Wow. Well, those are some very practical tips as far as things that you can grab onto and make sure you include in any kind of presentation that you have to do. I'm one of the people that really looks forward to your blog when it comes out. Why don't you tell our listeners how it is that they can connect to you and to the blog and the kind of services that you have available for those that might be interested in more on communications?
Sure. It's westbleed.com, and my blog is called Open Mic, and you can see it there, one of the tabs on the website. And, you know, we try to update that from time to time with information, some ideas and suggestions, kind of like what we're talking about right here. I also will come across articles and other presentations that I might feature as part of the blog. And then there's information about how to get a hold of me if you want to book me to speak to your organization or at your next function, and some other information about, you know, how you can get a hold of me, that sort of thing. So again, westbleed.com. I also do voiceover work and some media production, and My site for that is goldtonemedia.com, and that's another place you can go to reach me. So westbleed.com, goldtonemedia.com, and one of those two sites you can get a hold of me and definitely keep tabs on what we're doing.
Awesome. Well, this has been a real treat for us. We'll look forward to doing this again before too long and have a chance to explore more on the wonderful world of communication with somebody who is a communicator and loves understanding communication as well. That's a rare thing to be good at doing it and also great at having that perspective. We really thank you for your time and your participation today, Wes.
Grant, thank you so much. It's been great. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your listeners. Thanks so much.
All right. You have a great day.
You too.
Thank you for listening to Strategic Seminars Radio. Strategic Seminars presents workshops, seminars, and retreats. Topics include business, leadership, team building, relationships, sales training, customer service, spirituality, and personal development. Our website is www.strategic-seminars.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Strat Seminars. We would welcome your comments on this radio program. Email us using info@strategic-seminars.com. Strategic Seminars is a division of MCK Consulting, Inc. All rights reserved. Have a great day.